Welcome to the HJ Talks About Abuse podcast. In this podcast, we talk about sexual abuse cases in the hope it will assist listeners in openly discussing topics which have been ignored for too long. This podcast is brought to you by the abuse team at Hugh James. We are lawyers, so we do tend to speak about the legal aspects of abuse cases, but we aren't too shy to speak up about the broader issues faced by survivors too.
Hello, podcast listeners. I'm Alan Collins, and I'm joined today by my colleague
Sam Barker here. Thank
Hi,
you.
Sam. Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us once again. So Sam and I are going to be discussing sexual abuse storylines in the soaps. And by way of background, it seems that in recent months there have been a couple of very powerful storylines in the soaps, and we're now set for a new one. So we had earlier this year the Emmerdale storyline, which involved the teacher Maya and the young lad Jacob that she groomed and had, in quotes, a sexual relationship with.
Some podcast listeners might remember Alan and I's trailblazing podcast on that issue.
Indeed. And it was rather interesting, Sam, to hear your in-depth knowledge of Emmerdale and the characters and so on. I didn't realise you were such an avid fan. Anyway, so we're going to be testing your knowledge on, I think today, Coronation Street and The Archers. So anyway, what was interesting about the Mayo and Jacob storyline was, I think, Sam, the fact that apparently a sizable chunk of the population didn't think what Mayo was getting up to with Jacob, the teenage lad, was actually abusive.
Mm. I wonder why that is. Is it because the reversal of the male-female paradigm in that situation?
I reckon so. I think if it was seen maybe male teacher, female victim, there would have been much more understanding. But because it was a 16-year-old lad.
Yeah, the difference there.
Having, as I said, a so-called sexual relationship with a female, his teacher, that was seen to be, in some quarters, I emphasise some quarters, not to be an issue. And I think it demonstrated a lack of understanding what sometimes sexual abuse is and how damaging it is, regardless of whether the victim is male or female.
Yeah, absolutely. And the context of that in a school setting should be, you know, the issue that's more at the front of people's minds rather than the gender of the people involved, I think.
Which neatly brings me on to a current storyline, which is Jim in The Archers. So we're going to the other end of the age range, so to speak. We're moving on several decades age-wise from Maya and Jacob, and we're going to Jim in The Archers. Regular listeners to The Archers will know that Jim is a regular, and I think, if I remember rightly, he's the father of Alistair the Vet, and Jim and Alistair live together with another regular, Jazza. Jim, I think, comes from an academic background and is well beyond retirement age. And the storyline was that a surprise birthday party was arranged for Jim. He wasn't particularly enthusiastic about having this birthday tribute. But anyway, he turns up, and much to his horror, as he walks in through the door, he's confronted with the past, because as the story unfolds, we discover that his abuser from his childhood and many decades ago has been unwittingly invited to this birthday party, and Jim faces very much the past because he's confronted with his abuser right in front of him.
At his birthday party, no less.
Yeah, at his birthday party. And I think the story's an excellent one because it demonstrates that even with the passage of the years, the harm and the damage and the pain doesn't necessarily go away, far from it. Because what we hear in the storyline is Jim having to confront the past, so to speak, and eventually he is compelled to disclose what has happened to him, because his nearest and dearest are sort of somewhat mystified by Jim walking out of his birthday party and disappearing and really not being himself from it. So I thought it was a very interesting storyline. It's an ongoing one because Jim wants to try and move on, so to speak, to use, you know, everyday jargon, but Jazza, who knows what's happened, I think has decided to go and report matters to the police, because Jazza is of the opinion, rightly or wrongly, that Jim's abuser, who I guess must be somebody in his 80s
in the
or 90s now, ought to be dealt with by the police. So we're going to be left with this conflict between Jazza doing what he thinks is right and what other people think is right, which is contrary, it seems, to the victim's wishes.
Well, again, these kind of storylines do reflect things that happen in real life. You know, I've got a client who this kind of situation, whilst different in its own way, of course, it wasn't a birthday party or anything like that, but, you know, it turned up to a parish in a different area for mass one year, and the priest who was saying mass was the priest who had abused him years before. And, you know, obviously a shock to have walked into a parish and see that happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of circumstance, once again, shows that people are thrust in the middle of it through circumstances very much out of their control. And we're seeing so many examples in real life where other people make reports to the police, seemingly thinking it's in the best interest of the person who has been abused, because they want it dealt with. And it's not necessarily, you know, like, I guess there are positives and negatives that come out of that.
Indeed. And I remember a couple of years ago representing a survivor victim of extremely serious sexual abuse. She was, I guess, in her 60s now, and the abuse happened when she was a little girl. So, you know, we're talking about a gap of 50-something years. And she was confronted with, you know, the past, so to speak, through no choice of her own. But she had the strength to see things through. She assisted the police. She gave evidence in two trials. And the abuser was convicted and sent to prison for life. So she did her public duty. But
for a lot of people, that comes at a great expense.
It
came
at a great cost to her. And she actually said to me one day she would have been satisfied herself had the abuser just admitted to what he had done. And that for her would have meant everything. This abuser never admitted. He was taken through the criminal process, convicted and sent to prison, still in a world of denial.
Mm.
So she did her public duty, but
she was also dragged through it. Yeah.
She was, you know, I think it was quite telling for me when she went and said, well, actually, I would have been satisfied if he'd just turned around and admitted it. You know, that was a very personal view. I'm sure many of our listeners will say, well, no, it was right that he was prosecuted and sent to prison despite what she thought. So you can see how there are different approaches to all of this. But I think that the point that comes out of all of this and some of these stories that we're seeing in the soap is how survivors are not always at the centre of things, because other forces are at play. And my own opinion is, and I've always tried to campaign for this, is that victims should always be at the centre, and they should not be inadvertently sidelined because other people have got very strong opinions, which may be perfectly valid, perfectly justified, but that should not be at the expense, I personally don't think, of the victims.
Absolutely. Issues. And you've got to, I guess a lot of people would have to think about, you know, how grave it is to make these disclosures, for one, and two, where your abuser has denied what's occurred and the standard of proof is so high beyond reasonable doubt, you know, getting dragged through that trial process and being subjected to cross-examination would be an absolute nightmare. I can't think of, you know, every lawyer thinks about what the worst thing could happen in their career is, and that's getting cross-examined on the stand for something you've done or failed to do over the years or something like that, and it would be a nightmare.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. And, you know, but many victims and survivors do that. And for some, that is what they want to do. Many a victim or survivor will say, yes, I want to go to court. I want a judge, a jury to hear the story. I want to be heard. So that's very important. And that's fine, you know, because those victims, survivors being listened to, they're making informed choices, or I'm hoping that they're making informed choices. But there are others where we need to respect the fact that they are being forced in a way to disclose and forced to go down a particular path, you know, the kind of process. Anyway, so
the Coronation Street story, I think, highlights that as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's the new one. That's the one, you know, that's going to be unfolding in the coming days. So Coronation Street viewers are going to be hearing about what is described as a harrowing historic sex abuse case. I'd make the point that I don't like the word historic because none of this is historic. I know why the term gets used, but for victims and survivors, it's never historic.
It should just be a sex abuse case.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know why the term gets used, but I understand why the media sort of use it, but I think it's unhelpful and misleading. But anyway, so they are talking about this harrowing historic sex abuse storyline involving, I think he's a youngish lad, if I remember rightly, called Paul. I think he's in a relationship with his boyfriend, Billy Mayhew, who I'm pretty sure is a vicar in the programme, or certainly a Church of England priest. Anyway, so Paul discloses, as I understand it, that he's, as a child, was sexually abused by his stepfather called Kev. I think he was groomed, and he was groomed to the extent that he thought that what took place between him and Kev was consensual. But through the help of his boyfriend, Billy, he starts to realise that actually, yes, he was groomed, and what took place
was abuse.
Was not consensual, but in fact, sexual abuse.
It's funny to, it's really interesting to see these kind of shows tackle these kind of issues. And I think it's really important because a lot of viewers, you know, when we're looking at the incidence of sex abuse within society, we've seen that through the all parliamentary group reports that have come out recently, which show quite clearly it's such a prevalent issue. But a lot of people wouldn't understand, or will not understand, maybe not realize what had happened to them, particularly in the context of grooming. So portrayed on this platform, I think, is really helpful for people.
I think it's extremely important. I think, you know, the producers of these soaps are doing an excellent public service. Going back a couple of years when we had some pretty high-profile cases, the fact that whether it's fictitious cases or real cases, victims stroke survivors gain strength from what's being reported because it then gives them the strength to make disclosures themselves and go off to the police and report crimes. So it's very important because often I find that victims think that they're the only one, that no one else has been abused, it was just them. Very often that is not the case. But for the victim, they think they are the only one. You know, no one's going to believe them. If they're going to say something, they'll be disbelieved or be made to feel stupid or anything like or something like that. All very understandable human feelings.
Yeah.
But when they see, maybe through, you know, the Coronation Street storyline, that actually what they've experienced is not isolated, that gives them strength to deal with things themselves and take things forward.
And although this story is obviously fictitious, it's very much also real because these kind of things happen in society quite frequently.
Well, that's right. We see it on a daily basis, don't we? Cases like that of Paul being sexually abused by his stepfather. You know, familial abuse is, whether we like it or not, common.
I haven't seen this storyline play out too much on Neighbours or Home and Away.
My
cousin frequently appears on Neighbours.
She's
an actress on Neighbours, and maybe I'll have to get in touch with her and say the storytellers should the writers should get this kind of storyline up and running in Australia.
Well, yeah, why not? You know,
I think it's watched more in England though. Neighbours,
yeah, probably is. I think it's on Channel 5. But anyway, that's by the by. I think these stories, obviously, you know, not pleasant, but extremely informative. And as I said, I think they provide a public service because they help to expose some realities.
And empower people as well to be able to come forward with their own experiences.
And with Jacob's storyline, I think that helped to dispel the myth that it's okay for a teenage boy to be in a sexual relationship with his female teacher.
Yeah,
because
you would hope so.
That was a good story because it demonstrated the damage that is done by these so-called relationships. It was very educational, I thought.
I agree. It's good to have these kind of shows out there that are helping people in their own right who are watching it, I think.
So, thanks, Sam. Let's see how the stories in The Archers and Coronation Street unfold. And I'm sure we'll be discussing storylines in another podcast. So absolutely. Thank you very much.
We will. But Alan, may I ask you, was the Orson Welles War of the Worlds radio show, did that predate this Archers, or was the Archers the kind of, you know, the thing that started off radio storytelling?
I think, I'm pretty sure, Orson Welles and the War of the Worlds predates the Archers.
Does it? There you go. That's the only one. That's the only one I knew about radio dramas.
Maybe I'm thinking of something else. Didn't they? Wasn't it in the States just in the late 1930s when they
people thought
it was real?
People thought the world was ending.
That's right. So it is older than the Archers. The Archers started in the 1940s in the wake of the Second World War.
Crazy that it still goes on today with these storylines. So, but very interesting. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of HJ Talks About Abuse. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. If you would like to speak to Alan or I about something you have heard this week, or even if you would like to suggest a topic for a future episode, please do get in touch at aboutabuse@hjtalks.co.uk.